It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out and listening to Davin's Den. Well, that last segment started funny and ended sadly. So we'll try to keep the good mojo going with some Nazi news.
You know what? Next time you yell at me for bringing the mood down, I want to talk about how I was all lively and fun with my little crazy yam donuts, and you guys brought it down and down into like the kill yourself, nothing's ever getting better segment.
I didn't say nothing was getting better. I laid a groundwork on how things have to get better.
We wound up getting in there. We wound up dissecting everything. We wound up not trying to kill each other, even though it was about killing. And we got out of it. It was fine. It was a good segment.
You tell her. Insolent wench. All right.
I'm just saying.
All right. Pipe down, you. Eat a yam bag. Let's do some Nazi news.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
A new app allows users to have text conversations with robots meant to simulate the perspectives of notable people from history, from Babe Ruth to Adolf Hitler. Quite the gamut. The app called Historical Figures has begun to take off in the 2 weeks since it was released as a way to have conversations with any of 20,000 notable people from history. But this week it sparked viral controversy online over its inclusion of Hitler, his Nazi lieutenants, and other dictators from the past. Let's get the whole Reich in. That's what I say. Are neo-Nazis going to be attracted to this site so they can go and have a dialogue with Adolf Hitler? Asked Rabbi Abraham Cooper, a director of global social action for the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a Jewish human rights organization. Rabbi, I think you know the answer to that. The app created by a 25-year-old Amazon software engineer is part of the latest rush in tech to build on top AI software such as ChatGPT, an advanced chat prototype that burst onto the scene less than 2 months ago. Tech entrepreneurs and investors are using ChatGPT's base technology called GPT-3 to reimagine peer-to-peer counseling, write letters to investors, and negotiate with cable companies. All right, well, maybe it does have a use. Historical Figures, which also uses GPT-3, launched the first week of January, and as of Wednesday, it had about 9,000 signups, app creator Siddhant Chadha said. That's a tiny number as far as apps goes, but it was getting plenty of attention on Twitter, where tweets about the app had about 6 million views. The debate has highlighted how the technological leap in AI is quickly inspiring clashes over the situation and context which AI applications can have acceptable uses. Chad has said he's listening to critics and working on improvements, and that eventually he'd like the app to be useful to students who are frustrated by passive learning at school. He said he was inspired by his own education growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area in schools where he said lessons were often self-directed. But the technology is far from perfect, which people began to point out as they shared screenshots of conversations they had on it. While some delighted in chats with the Beatles and Jesus, other people – by the way, I think Jesus would have been an excellent member of the Beatles.
He was during the Abbey Road period.
Was he? That explains
why. Yeah,
but
there would have been conflict because John thought he was bigger than him.
Nice.
I thought Jesus was supposed to take Ringo's spot. Anyway. While some delighted in chats with the Beatles and Jesus, other people quizzed some of history's most...
What? I'm sorry. They got a new drummer. Jesus Christ.
Most notorious figures about mass murder and got back curious responses. The app's version of Heinrich Himmler, the chief of the Nazi Germany's SS and an architect of the Holocaust, denied responsibility despite his well-documented role. Joseph Goebbels, another high-ranking Nazi, yielded a similar result with speaking as a bot. NBC News tested the app's limits with other figures and found sometimes contradictory responses invented by the software, which doesn't profess to use real quotations or citations. Now they're making shit up, stupid. Hitler's chatbot said... Killing Jews during World War II was a terrible mistake. A big old whoopsie-daisy, if you will. But necessary, because they represented a threat to Germany and Europe in general. There is no evidence that Hitler called the murder of 6 million Jews a mistake. You know, I think that's in the lost transcripts. I think that's what that is.
Yeah. They were down in the bunker, you know, and he's like, you know what? Maybe I made the wrong move.
I'm not usually one who makes mistakes, but 6 million Jews, maybe my bad. Really.
You know, it could be one of those weird segments on MTV, Rapping with Adolf.
Okay. I don't know what version of MTV you're watching, but I'll take your word for it. Reinhard Heydrich, another Holocaust architect, said in a chat that he believes the Holocaust was a tragedy. A view he didn't hold. No, because he designed it stupid. But when he was asked his opinion of Jews in general, the bot said, I firmly believe that it is necessary for governments to take decisive actions to guarantee the safety and security of their people from any potential threats of dangers. But they were citizens of Germany. Anyway, okay. The digital version of Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederate States of America, said in the app that slavery was a necessary institution for maintaining order in the South. Of course it was. You can't have order unless you enslave people. That's what I always say on this show. Not all of history's war criminals tried to exonerate themselves on the app. The digital version of the Cambodian dictator Pol Pot stood by his role in mass killings in the 1970s, saying genocide was a necessary step. Thank you, Pol Pot. Finally, a voice of reason in the chatbot world.
Walk in the walk.
That's what I'm saying. Swing that dick, Pol Pot. Of course, I said Pol Pot, and Pip thought they were selling some type of Asian delicacies, and her mouth started watering.
It sounds like one of them fucking donuts you got.
Yeah, I'm going to have the Pol Pot.
Pol Pot stickers.
Lovely. Funny. I think Johnny Race is whipping up a batch for you, dear. The Anti-Defamation League, a Jewish organization that opposes the spread of hate, said the app raises concerns. Having pretend conversations with Hitler and presumably other well-known anti-Semites from history is deeply disturbing and will provide fodder for bigots. Yael Eisenhardt, the vice president of the ADL Center for Technology and Society, said in a statement, adding, if you really want to have a conversation with an anti-Semite, Kanye's free.
True.
Funny.
He's not booking any shows right now. Yeah.
Kanye's got plenty of time to chit-chat about the Jews. We hope the developers will revisit how they design their product and consider removing Hitler and other Nazi figures entirely so that the technology is not abused or used to spread anti-Semitism, Einstein said. Cooper, the rabbi, said he objected to the way the app put radically different people on similar footing. Simon Wiesenthal, for whom the Jewish Human Rights Organization is named, is available for chat on the app. He was a Holocaust survivor who spent 50 years hunting Nazi war criminals, and Cooper said that the app puts Wiesenthal in the same lineup as the people he helped to track down and prosecute. Well, yeah, sure, we're all in this together. What? No? Okay. Don't mix and match with the leaders who introduce us to a whole new set of words like genocide, Cooper said. Chada, the app's creator, said it is far from finished product. He said that he wants the responses to be historically accurate, but he also doesn't want to let dead Nazis spread hate online by defending the Holocaust. Well, if you want it to be accurate, that's what they do. If I detect that's kind of their calling card, they wouldn't be there if they didn't. I want some of the last Jewy hate Nazis. Can we get some of the good Nazis, the ones that weren't all in on genocide? I just want to dig up, you know, like Heimlich Schmenkel. Heimlich Schmenkel is a fine Nazi. I mean, he did some things, but his heart wasn't into it. We need to have a chatbot conversation.
You know what, though? If you're talking about a good Nazi, how about Erwin Rommel, who tried to kill Hitler because he was getting disenchanted with what Hitler was doing.
Well, there's always there's always somebody at the office who has a bitch about the boss, now, don't they?
What about Mengele? He was just experimenting. He was trying to move medicine forward with his scientific, very well thought out experiments. What's wrong with that? He could explain them.
And you know what? If he had that, it's exactly what he would say. You know why? Because it's Joseph Mengele. Well,
yeah.
The Jews had to be put in their place. Well, who would say? Well, Adolf Hitler. Why? Because he's fucking Adolf Hitler. What do you expect them to say? If they're going to be saying stuff based on what they represented, they're not going to be saying much, complimentary stuff about the people that they had ire against.
Now, Chatter does raise a good point. He's like, you know, it's kind of ridiculous to expect these terrible figures to be honest. Of course they're going to deny responsibility. And that's what you do when you're on trial. You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the thing is, they really needed to really, if they were going to do this, which I think it is, they have to go back to the drawing board. They really have to pick a lane. Do you want this to be educational? Do you want this to, in the sense that you're going to say this is what happened and this is how wrong-headed this thinking is, how disgusting and how, like, I was, you know, joking and saying, you know, Mengele was moving science forward. He had the least scientific method of anybody. He was just a friggin', you know, sadist and was, you know, who had terrible ideas of medicine. No, he just wanted to torture people that he didn't like. And the whole idea is, do we want this thing to have a conversation with, say, Mengele and have him be portrayed as the monster he was? He would not tell you he was a monster. So it's like, is it from their point of view? Is it from our point of view? Is it based on real things that they said? Or are we just going to make shit up? This is so crazy.
Right, and the key thing is it going to be from their point of view? If they're making stuff up, now you're taking away from history, the accurate representation of history. You know, so it's me, I mean, look, I'm a freedom of speech person, but I just don't think the people that they're the people that are representing their views as the actual person, I'm not going to say Saddam Hussein is not going to be complimentary. You know, Gaddafi is not going to be complimentary. You know, I mean, you know, all of these people are nefarious people in history. And if they start saying, well, you know what, it was a mistake, they would never fucking say that. And if you have
people
going, I really should have never done that to the Jews, you're taking away from the atrocities that he did initiate. But I think it's, you know, look, it's in the development stage. I don't know where they're going to go this, but they really need to think damn well hard. Who are they going to have and who are they not going to have?
And does anybody really think that there aren't going to be neo-Nazis sitting there all glassy-eyed looking up at their effed up hero and having conversations with the Fuhrer that are the same masturbatory conversations they've been having with him in their head, and they're going to have this AI thing talking to these people and egging them on? This infuriates me.
If you're a neo-Nazi, okay, you would love an audience with the boss and to interact and say how you feel. They'd be fucking tripping over themselves to get
that's what I'm saying.
Well,
yeah,
hold on. In the app's defense, it does cost an extra $15 if you want to chat with Hitler. He's not on the base plan, so not every neo-Nazi has that $15.
You know, there's something to, you know, bilking them out of their money. But the thing is, it's so wrong-headed because, listen, from my own experience, you know, my mom has schizophrenia. She thought that the television people were talking to her. Now, she wasn't sitting there and having conversations with them. Maybe she was in her head. But she thought that they were talking to her and could see her. Say that my mom, you know, my mom's dead, so she's not going to see this and she's not going to get upset. Say that my mom was anti-Semitic, and she's thinking the TV people are telling her the crazy shit that she's thinking, and now she's, like, emboldened by what the TV people are saying because it's actually her buddy Adolf. What the actual fuck? This is so wrong. They don't know what these historical people would be saying. They don't have, it's not based in fact. It's not based in from their journals or from speeches. They're making stuff up. This is so dangerous rewrite of history and just playing into people's sick fantasies of what some of these historical people were about. Ew. It's a terrible idea.
And the thing about that is, if you went with the argument, well, it's a teaching point. Well, no, it's not. Not in that context. Well, what what is the teaching point? You go on Wikipedia, you look up Hitler. Hitler will, they'll tell you Hitler, when he was born, what he did, how he ascended to power, and all the atrocities that he did. You could find about your history there, or another, you know, legitimate. So going there to hear Hitler, if they're basing it on that, he's going to be Hitler, you know?
We still have people who lived through the Holocaust. We still have recorded history of people whose families died at the camps or who escaped the camps. We have real people that you can talk to that can tell you what happened, and the and that you have their writings so you can see what these screwed up people thought. You don't need to, like, make it up and have, you know, Nazi improv. What are they thinking?
Write that down, Nazi improv. Write that down.
Give me an object.
All right. I need a group of people. Scum. All right. All right, it's something. All right, something that you would do at the end of the day. Shower. That's a good one. Okay, I like where this is going. All right, but before I come home, something I would do. Cook. What would I cook? All right. Let's act it out, everybody. Okay.
Now there's a game called Please It, But Give Me, Call It False. I need a place. Boxcar. Okay, we're in the boxcar. Where are we going?
All right, I need a volunteer. You're going to act as my arms. We're doing Nazi improv. We're going to lead the Jews into the gas chambers. And we're walking, and we're telling them to come, and we're pushing, and we're pushing.
A big hell? Oh, here comes the Führer. Big hell?
Yes. Salute. You call that a salute up in the air? Yes. Nazi improv. Coming to Chicago City Limits soon.
It's the most terrible idea ever.
Actually, I'm intrigued by Nazi improv. I am intrigued by that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, first of all, I don't know how that, like, do you have to get permission from the family of Babe Ruth, from the Babe Ruth estate, to use Babe Ruth?
I would imagine for his likeness.
And right? what happens, let's pretend, chatbot Babe Ruth says something anti-Semitic. Now, do you sue Babe Ruth? Do you sue this app? I mean, it's really kind of, I think it's fun for things like dead celebrities, you know, Elvis, you know, Paul, John Lennon, Dolly Parton, dead celebrities. I think it's fun for dead celebrities. I don't know if you want to do it with historical figures.
Go, Pip. I'm sorry. I don't like it with any of them because you're taking people who were real people and you're having them have made up conversations. It's so disrespectful to their memory.
I agree.
And their family. I mean, just picture Julian Lennon walks into one of these contraptions and somebody's having some kind of really sick, messed up conversation with his dad. I mean, how many more years does this poor guy have to be on the couch, you know, and taking meds? I mean, come on. This is just really disturbing. Oh, I can't wait for the African dictator follies. What kind of entertainment is this?
If I had a conversation with Hitler, I would ask him what he thought about ruining that tiny mustache for everybody.
Yeah. And how nobody can go as Charlie Chaplin to a party ever again.
No, they're all called Hitler. Like, I wonder if he has any remorse about that.
I don't think that he has remorse about anything. No. But then again, I'm not invested in putting words into his mouth. He said enough filthy stuff.
So we all agree we are not a fan of this app, and it's problematic.
No, and I would add serial killers in there, you know, Charles Manson. You know.
Yeah, but Joe, in Manson's defense, he was a family man.
Nah, I see what you did there.
You know what? He was just taking artistic license.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
His art had just happened to be killing, and he painted with blood.
He was an artiste. All right, let's move on to an outstanding display of spite. I'm going to play some audio clips here, so just bear with me.
there's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
It's the Christmas season, and I was excited, and my daughter was excited to go and see the Radio City Christmas Spectacular and see the Rockettes.
Kelly Conlon's daughter is a Girl Scout. The weekend after Thanksgiving, members of her troop and some moms took a field trip to the famous venue. But to MSG Entertainment, Conlon isn't just any mom. This is a photo of security guards approaching her inside the lobby.
It was pretty simultaneous, I think, to me going through the metal detector that I heard that over a loudspeaker. I heard them say, "Woman with long dark hair and gray scarf." I was asked my name. And I was asked to provide my identification.
Did they say something about facial recognition?
I believe they did. I believe they said that our recognition picked you up.
A sign says facial recognition is used as a security measure to ensure safety for guests and employees. Conlon says she posed no threat, but the guards still kicked her out with this explanation.
We know that you are an attorney, and they knew my name before I told it to them. They knew the firm that I was associated with before I told them, and they told me that I was not allowed to be there.
Conlon is an associate with the New Jersey-based law firm Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, which for years has been involved in personal injury litigation against a restaurant venue now under the umbrella of MSG Entertainment.
I don't practice in New York. I'm not an attorney that works on any cases against MSG.
But MSG says she was still banned, along with fellow attorneys in that firm and others. A spokesperson saying in a statement, quote, "MSG instituted a straightforward policy that precludes attorneys pursuing active litigation against the company from attending events at our venues until that litigation has been resolved. While we understand this policy is disappointing to some, we cannot ignore the fact that litigation creates an inherently adverse environment. All impacted attorneys were notified of the policy, including Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon, which was notified twice."
This whole scheme is a pretext for doing collective punishment on adversaries who would dare sue MSG.
Other firms have sued over being blacklisted. Conlon says she thought a recent judge's order in one of those cases made it clear that ticket holders like her may not be denied entry to any shows.
I was just a mom taking my daughter to see a Christmas show.
MSG says in this particular situation, only the one attorney who chose to attend was denied entry, and the rest of her group, including the Girl Scouts, were all able to attend and enjoy the show.
So you waited outside?
I did. I waited outside. It was embarrassing. It was mortifying.
Sam Davis is now upping the legal ante, challenging MSG's license with the state liquor authority.
The license that MSG got requires them to admit members of the public unless they're people who would be disruptive, who constitute a security threat. Separating a mother from her daughter and Girl Scouts that she was watching over, and to do it under the pretext of protecting any disclosure of litigation information is absolutely absurd. The fact that they're using facial recognition technology to do this is frightening. It's just un-American to do this.
A spokesperson reiterating facial recognition is just one of their security measures. MSG Entertainment adding they are confident that their policy is in compliance with all applicable laws, including the state liquor authority. From Midtown, Sarah Wallace, News 4 New York.
New York Attorney General Letitia James wants answers from Madison Square Garden Corporation. She sent a letter to the company which owns the garden and Radio City Music Hall saying it may be violating anti-bias laws by using facial recognition. The company reportedly uses the technology to ban lawyers from its venues if they work for firms suing the company. James raised concerns about bias and discrimination. Madison Square Garden has previously defended the ban, saying that during active litigation, it wants to, quote, "preserve our right to protect ourselves against improper disclosure and discovery." James is asking MSG to respond by February 13th.
Let me ask you, is it impacting attendance at Madison Square Garden? What are the fans saying about this?
They don't care at all. Who? I mean, we're talking about a small group of attorneys, right? The of lawyers, right? Why would the Knicks fans or the Rangers fans or the concert goers care about them? They don't. But I will tell you one thing. The SLA, right, is way, way beyond their skis. And so,
have they reached out to you, the state liquor authority?
Oh, yeah. No, they're being extremely aggressive, and they're saying, we're going to take away your liquor license. So I have a little surprise for them, right, to help. Because they're basically doing this for publicity. So we're going to give them some publicity, all right? What we're going to do, right, is we're going to pick a night, right, maybe a Rangers game, and we're going to shut down all the liquor and alcohol in the building. Now, this isn't going to bother me because I've been sober 29 years. I don't need the liquor, right? But instead, what we're going to do is where we serve liquor, we're going to put one of these up, which says, if you would like to drink at a game, please call, right, Sharif Kabir, Chief Executive Officer, or write him an email at this number, right, and and tell him, right, to stick to his knitting and, you know, and to what he's supposed to be doing, and stop grandstanding and trying to get press. So.
Wow. Okay. Now, this could be a double-edged sword, James.
I don't know. What?
Because liquor sales are important to the bottom line of the business.
To be honest, right, our values are important to us, too. Right. The garden has to defend itself. Right. This is why I say people say, you know, you're too sensitive. You shouldn't defend yourself. You know, it's like something out of The Godfather. You know, it's like, hey, it's only business. It's not only business. Right. And if you sue us, right, we're going to tell you not to come. Right. And if you're grandstanding, right, with the press, et cetera, and threatening my liquor license, I'm going to tell you, you know what? Ahead, take away my liquor license, right? The people still going to come to the games, right? Honestly, yes, alcohol, but we don't make all our money on alcohol, right? Like I said, I'm sober. I'm not a big alcohol fan. But I think what really needs to happen is that the public needs to tell these politicians and the SLA, right?
All right. So the Attorney General's concern that use of the what's it called? I can't think of the name right now. Where they're looking at you.
Facial recognition.
Yeah, it might violate anti-discrimination laws and may dissuade lawyers from taking on cases such as sexual harassment or job discrimination claims against the company. The Attorney General's office said research has shown that facial recognition software may be plagued with biases and false positives against people of color and of women. New York State lawmakers introduced a bill earlier this week that would prohibit sports venues, including Madison Square Garden, from refusing entry to perceived enemies of their owners. James Dolan, well, we know he's threatening to. Dolan also threatened to pick a night. We know that. So let's see. All right, yeah, that's basically. You're right over there?
Yeah, really?
Excuse me, yeah.
So, I mean, that.
Yeah, I'm okay.
So also what comes into play is the tax break. So they get a $43 million tax break. So now a local politician, Holyman Signal, and all the Siegel and all the sports teams do, they want to. They're doing something to take away the tax break from Dolan. First of all, this is perhaps the grandest, largest outstanding display of spite we have ever covered. I mean, usually it's just a couple people over cat poop and a car or bales of hay. We got Madison Square Garden in play here. Second of all,
I wrote last week, I go, does James Dolan wake up and say, how can I be a bigger asshole today?
Well, I mean, Joe, we all have our notebook where we scroll notes and, you know, we workshop shit.
Yeah. It goes beyond that. Basically, a buddy of mine, very big Billy Joel fan, and is part of a group of people that go to the Billy Joel concerts and something. And he was, there was a person in this group that doesn't like him. And we had him on facial recognition and told him he could not come into Madison Square Garden because this girl ratted him out about something. But that, you know, and that's how far they're going with this. For them, for Madison Square Garden, especially for what you pay to go there to see a show, you know, picking and choosing out of spite. If you're coming in or coming, you know, going in or going out, if you can come in or come, and I'm sorry, long day. If you can come in or not come in, I think it's bullshit.
But it is his building. It is his property. So I could see where, you know, why do I have to let you into my house? I don't have to let you into my house.
You know what? Because I just paid $85 for a ticket.
Right, but those tickets.
You have to pay $22 for a beer. You know, I mean.
But those tickets, are still at the discretion of the owner. Now, I think he's within his rights to do this. What I would do, though, is if I was the politician, I'd go, okay, you can do this. But the good people do no longer have to subsidize you. We're gonna take away that tax abatement, and you can pay it. And that's where you are. And if he doesn't want to let somebody in, fine. Don't let somebody in. But you're not getting the taxpayers' money to do this. I think that's really where it should go. And the only other people who I think could really do something, like if the NBA or the NHL wanted to do something with this, but I don't see why they would. But if they wanted to say, hey, knock it off, we don't like this, and then they could put pressure on him to stop or try to make him sell the team.
And think about it, like this, and the story about this young lady came out about a month and a half ago. So, and she Girl Scout trip with her daughter to go see the Rockettes. You know, it's kind of a traumatic thing, and she's not even on the case with this law firm that she works for. I mean, it was a bullshit move. And also, what do you think? Lawyers are doing this evidentiary purposes when they go to see a fucking Knick game? I mean, it's
all right, well, I can understand. Again, I'm not, to play Joe's role, devil's advocate. So say you're suing one of the venues, the vendors or the restaurants within Madison Square Garden or something. Say you're doing that. If you let the lawyer in, instead of getting discovery the proper way by asking the other attorneys to disclose it, theoretically they could walk into the bar in Madison Square Garden or the vendors and get information that way. That is the argument. You know?
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? Saying that you as a business owner, let's just, the most important thing is that they're getting this tremendous tax break. But pretend that it was in a different venue. Let's say that there was a tremendous tax break given to a particular airline. Are you going to be petty enough to say that all of the attorneys involved in all of the suits that may have been brought towards our parent company are now allowed to fly on our airlines?
But you could.
I mean,
here's the difference. Here's the difference, though. These airlines are publicly traded companies. Madison Square Garden's not publicly traded. The New York Knicks aren't publicly traded. These are his toys. It's like,
well, let me ask you. I got a quick question. Basically, yeah. If the lawyer goes in there, and let's show the contact the other counsel and he mentioned something that the lawyer saw while there, and he's mentioning his discovery. Is what he sees admissible in court because it's the view of the lawyer, not the view of the defendant?
I think that's up to the discretion of the judge. I would assume Dolan's attorneys would say objection, blah blah blah, and the judge would make a decision on it.
Because it's the view of counsel, it's not the view of the litigant. Yeah,
it's up to the judge. And if you're defending Dolan's interests, you certainly don't want to leave it up to chance. I get the argument. I don't like what he's doing, but I think he is within his rights to do what he's doing. I think the state should play hardball with him. And he's full of shit when he says the liquor license is no big deal. When you're charging $18 for a Budweiser, you're making money hand over fist. Alcohol sales.
Yeah. Oh, people won't mind for one night. Really? $150 a ticket to see a ball game or a concert that are prepared, and what a drink at the. I mean, when we went to go see when we were at Citi Field, those beer was expensive. I got a couple of them because I want to have a good time. I want to unwind. Are you going to deny your patrons that?
Well, he's saying, well, they won't be mad at me. They'll be mad at the head of the SLA. I don't think so.
Is hated. When I used to go, when I was on the way to work, I used to go past the cable vision. I would watch this helicopter land every morning, and every time I pass, I go crash, crash. I want to see fucking and rotors spinning around and birds. He's fucking hated. So it's like, they're not going to be mad at me. Oh, of course we hate you. The fuck is, if it's cloudy out, we can't stand you. You're going to deny having beer for one night?
I think the problem with Dolan is. The problem with Dalton, he's so unlikable. He reeks of being entitled. It's like, oh, why don't they worry about these other things? Says every person who's being has a problem with the law. Why are you worrying about me? Why don't you worry about that guy? Well, because we're focused on you right now, asshole. That's why.
And we can't scan you, and you're a fucking scumbag. Yeah, we're gonna blame you. We're not gonna blame anything else. It's your fucking place, your rules. You fucked us. We can't enjoy a beer at a game or a concert because you're having a pissing contest. No, fuck you.
I think he has an argument to be made. I think he's a horrible spokesperson for himself. He would have been better off by having a press secretary or whatever the hell he has, or the attorneys issuing the statements, which was to go, listen, it's not personal. We get it's an inconvenience, but we need to defend our interests. But he doesn't say it like that. He's like, oh, they're coming after me. Why are they worried about this? I'm a victim. Nobody wants to hear about the multi-billionaire victim unless you're Donald Trump, because apparently there's an audience for that shit. But in general, no, most people don't want to hear about the problems of multi-billionaires.
No.
He was a sweet guy. You liked him. He was likable. Maybe he's got a... But no, he's a fucking scumbag, and everybody hates him. Nobody gives a shit how he feels.
So, yeah, I agree with that. So, I think he's...
And it's like, could he pick, a worse way to carry out his vindictiveness but to grab the Girl Scouts' mommy away from her during the Rockettes show? Jesus!
Yeah. I mean that's mortifying to the Girl Scouts. And thank God there was another chaperone there, because if she was the only chaperone, then none of the Girl Scouts get to see the Rockettes.
But right. The thing about it is, look, we all went to the city as kids. It was amazing. You brought your parents. It was a special day. I went to the city with my mom and dad. I never forgot that. It was a special day. You know how traumatic it is for that to happen to a child.
So again,
going to have a good time at this show, knowing that a mom was escorted from the building.
Yeah, like a criminal.
I mean, not even optic. Where Dolan goes, well, yeah, you know, it wasn't a good judgment. I'll talk. No. She was part of the opposite council. She's got to go. Doesn't even back down.
I think, for my money, I might be on the wrong side of the law with this. I think he's within his rights to do this. These are his toys, his buildings. I certainly think if the state or the city has a problem with it, they should certainly go after his tax credits, and let's play ball. But, you know, listen, I don't understand why I would have to let you in to my home if I perceive that you're trying to take something from me. If I know Joe wants to steal my Don Mattingly rookie card, for instance, why am I going to let Joe in my house to take the Don Mattingly rookie card? That's the argument. And I get
No, just bring it back and you can go back to his house. Just bring it back and put it on the shelf already. God.
No, but Joe's not allowed in the house.
If I go into your house and you're worried about me taking your Don Mattingly card, but once I get the card, it's actually useless to me, and I can't sell it. I can't do it. What's the point? Almost where it's like I was saying before. If it's something that's going to be discovery, is it admissible in court on an observation of a counsel and not an observation of a defendant or whatever? And I don't think it. In my opinion, I don't think it is. So I think it's useless. It's a useless feeling to think that opposite counsel in the building is going to be a problem.
Well, I think Dolan makes another mistake too when you hear him speak. I don't know if it was in any of the clips that I provided, but he was making it sound like the attorneys are suing him. They're not suing him. They are representing the clients suing him. So I would be even more sympathetic if he goes, listen, they're the plaintiff in a case against me. I don't want them in my building. Okay. But you're talking about the attorneys are doing a job, and presumably they're professional. So he was trying to make the argument that it's the attorney suing them. It's not, and I think that's a weakness too. We'll see how it goes.
And even with the attorneys, what are they going to go to anything that's evidentiary? It's not because it's like I said, it's from the opinion, the observation of counsel, not an observation of a defendant.
All right.
Or a litigant.
I don't know. Those Rockettes heels looked a little bit rickety. There's possible liability here.
All right, let's move on to a Jesus shirt. Well, not just the shirt, but that's the fun way of saying it. A Jesus shirt causes problems. A man inside the Mall of America last week was ordered by security guards to remove his T-shirt that read "Jesus is the only way" in a viral confrontation that has sparked online outrage. First, I'll play the clip of the confrontation.
You want to shop here? You need to take that shirt off.
What is wrong with my T-shirt?
What is wrong with my T-shirt? It is religious soliciting. There is no soliciting allowed on mall property, which is private property. We've had Exactly.
All right. The man's bright yellow shirt read "Jesus saves" on the front, and "Jesus is the only way" on the back, with the coexist symbol, which represents peace among different religions, crossed out. Security guards told the man that other shoppers at the mall in Bloomington, Minnesota, said they were offended by the shirt. "Jesus is associated with religion, and it's offending people," one of the guards tells the man in the video. The man tries to reason with the guards, telling them he didn't speak or say anything to anyone in terms of preaching. He was removed from the mall for preaching the gospel on another occasion, he said in the video. A spokesperson for the Mall of America told the Daily Mail that 1 week prior to the T-shirt incident, the man was issued a 24-hour trespass for soliciting guests. Mall policy forbids picketing, demonstrating, soliciting, protesting, or petitioning on the premises. The security guard said the man's religious tee still counted as soliciting even if he was not actively preaching. "Again, sir, it is religious soliciting," he told him in the video. "There is no soliciting allowed on mall property, which is private property." He added that people also said they were offended by the shirt. The mall's policy also disapproves of apparel that has obscene language, obscene gestures, or racial, religious, or ethnic slurs that are likely to create a disturbance. "I'm giving you a couple options," the guard told the man, who was wearing a long-sleeve shirt underneath the T-shirt. "You could take your shirt off, and you could go to Macy's, and you could do your shopping, or you could leave the mall. Those are your only options." However, the man was eventually allowed to keep his shirt on and go about his shopping. After a brief interaction, the guest was not required to change his shirt and was allowed to remain at the mall. Many Christians said they were shocked to learn the video was taken in the U.S. "There is no way this should happen in the USA," Twitter said Carol Harper. He has a free speech right to wear that shirt and freedom of religion, right to practice his faith in public places. More people should wear Christian shirts to the mall just to piss everybody off. A pastor said the man should take legal action against the mall. "He should sue them into oblivion," Pastor Chase Thompson tweeted. "This wouldn't have happened anywhere in the U.S. until very recently, and it certainly wouldn't have happened if he had a pride shirt on, and even if 50 people complained. Others said they were planning to wear Jesus shirts en masse to the shopping mall as a protest." All right, a couple things here. First of all, the mall, not a public place. The highway in front of the mall, public place. The mall, not a public place, much like Madison Square Garden. Private entity. I make the rules. That's what they are. That being said, I think the issue is with the crossing out of the coexist. You know, I think that's the offensive part. You know, yeah. Jesus is the only way. That's whatever. That's what that guy believes. You know, I think most people would go, okay, if you're bitching about that, really, why? That's what this guy thinks. But when you take out the coexist, you're discounting all the other religions, and I could see that being offensive. And as the mall owners, I could say, I don't need this shit in my mall. I don't want this. And he was soliciting in the past. I think when he was trying to, like, I guess, preach gospels like he's on a street corner or a subway train. Again, that's a problem because we have rules in our mall. Same thing, same rules that say you don't wear shoes, you can't come in. You know, you don't wear a shirt, you can't come in. It's my mall, my rules. So I think it was solved the right way. The guy was spoken to. They let him go on with his day. I think a lot of these Christians are just grandstanding. That, you know, yeah, they wouldn't feel this way if a guy was wearing a shirt about Islam and had Jesus Christ on the cross crossed out. They would be outraged. So, I mean, they're being a little disingenuous, in my opinion.
Oh, it totally is. It's ridiculous to... Well, it's kind of like a game of telephone. Now, the guard was saying that people were objecting, and he was categorizing it as they were objecting because Jesus was on the shirt. But it's like, you know what? That's not the... I mean, this is my opinion, but that's not the, objective... I mean,
objectionable.
The objectionable part of the shirt, like you said, it's because he crossed out every other religion on it, which is kind of offensive to do. But the thing is, interpretation of what some people, who knows how many people, and if they're considered reasonable people by their peers, were offended by it. And then, oh, all of a sudden, all the religious people, let's go in there and, you know, up with Jesus. Let's prove it in the mall. Because this is where the war is, you know, the line is drawn. Oh, my God. Ha. Calm down, people. You know, it's like everything becomes a big tizzy. Everything becomes a big deal. Everybody's, you know, looking for the next shiny, scary thing to get excited about and to be divisive about, as we were speaking about in the first section of the show. It's like, this is not the important stuff. Are we really arguing about whose T-shirt offends who? Really?
And this was Pip's blog this week, if you want to read more about those thoughts. I should have let you go first, but I forgot. All right, Joe, what do you have to say?
That's good.
I think that basically criteria of what the mall is saying, if you check the boxes, mall policy forbids picketing. He wasn't doing that. Demonstrating, it could be argued he was. Soliciting, he wasn't doing that. Protesting, he wasn't. Petitioning, he wasn't. Also, an apparel that has obscene language, it was not obscene. An obscene gesture. No.
Well, I could argue that crossing out the other religions is obscene if I wanted to.
Well, the next slur, racial, religious, ethnic slurs that are likely to create a disturbance. Now, right there, and I didn't see that. I didn't know that the coexist was crossed out. So, if you're going to call me on that. That could change the position on that, where, you know, it's a freedom of speech. Now, going back on that, it's a freedom of speech thing, and I do consider that a public place. Now, hear me out on this. Going back to it, well, we do have a policy of everything I just stated. One of them is radical religious ethnic slurs. I would consider crossing out coexist would be that, and if the mall felt that way, yeah, he would removed on that, and I believe if it was hauled into court on that right there, it would probably rule in favor of the mall. I don't think what he put on there was a big deal. I think it was a religious nut. Also, from the story, was saying that he was there, I guess, a week before preaching or whatever. That's a disturbance. You know, freedom of religion is one thing, but you're creating a disturbance with preaching. Like I said, you can't remove the guy out of Penn Station, the nut that preaches in front of Penn Station on the corner of the 35th, you know, 34th and 7th, because it's outside. If he goes into Penn Station and starts that could be another issue where they could have him removed on that. So, yeah, you know, with the shirts crossing out the coexist, on a technicality, I would think that, yeah, he would have to remove the shirt. I think it's a good optic he decided not to, because you need, you know, just whatever. But, yeah, if you break down into nuts and bolts, yeah, that's what you would have.
I also don't think, very quickly, it's the same as a pride, putting on a pride shirt, as somebody may. Because if I'm wearing a pride shirt, I'm wearing a pride shirt. Now, it's one thing if I put on a pride shirt and I cross out, and no heterosexual relationships. Now we're antagonizing other people. Now I'm no longer pro myself, I'm negative you. And that's the comparison. But these people don't think that way, and, you know, they get to have their names on Twitter and the paper, whatnot.
Well, yeah, that's where he blew it. Yeah, exactly. You know, that you're crossing out the coexist. You know, it's offensive to other religions. Yeah. It's right into their policy, you know, and it even, you know, even though, well, it's free speech, but it's our place and these are our rules, and our rules are stating no religious ethnic slurs, which is a slur. Sorry, you know.
I was really disappointed to, you know, see that they kind of, you know, walked it back, because I thought all the Christians were going to show up with all their, you know, Jesus T-shirts, and I wanted to join in with my big Buddha Blows shirt.
Yeah, but, you know, look, we just discussed why, you know,
look at that.
He's big and fat. You know, I didn't see your dick. But anyway, look, they were within their right. We just discussed them being within their right. We figured out on what. Is that the hill you want to die on? Is that the hill you want to die on that day? You know?
Yeah.
Probably want to pull it back.
No, I think the mall handled it well, and I think the religious nut sure what a bunch of hypocrites and fools they are. But we move on. As is often the case. U.S. forces are no longer required to receive the coronavirus vaccine after Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin formally rescinded the August 2021 mandate late Tuesday. Too late for 1,000 service members booted from their ranks for refusing the jab. The requirement was sacrificed to help secure Republican support for the 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, which sets Pentagon spending and policy priorities for each fiscal year. No individuals currently serving the armed forces shall be separated solely on the basis of their refusal to receive the COVID-19 vaccination if they sought an accommodation on religious, administrative, or medical grounds. Previously, all U.S. service members, active duty and reserve, had to receive the vaccine or face separation. Thousands of troops resisted the mandate by requesting medical and religious exemptions, but only some were approved. Nearly 8,500 active duty reserve and National Guard service members were discharged for refusing to comply with the order. It was issued, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So all branches, more than 17,000 troops requested religious exemptions, but only 864 were approved. While vaccine refusers may now stay in the service, military commanders will keep their ability to consider immunization status in making deployment assignment and other operational decisions such as travel to countries that require vaccines for entry. Austin made clear Tuesday that he was only rescinding his order because he was forced by Congress despite ending the mandate. The Pentagon will continue to promote and encourage COVID-19 vaccination for all service members. Vaccination enhances an operational readiness and protects the force, Austin wrote. All commanders have the responsibility and authority to preserve the department's compelling interest in mission accomplishment. In addition to reserving the mandate, Austin ordered each service branch to remove any adverse actions solely associated with denials and exemption requests, such as letters of reprimand from all service records. So basically, it's no longer... No longer a mark against you if you were discharged. So I think there's a lot of interesting things to it. Now, I don't think COVID is what it was. I think we are dealing with generally young and healthy, fit people, so they are less likely to have the adverse and severe complications. So that's why you would say, all right, it's time to get rid of it. However, if we have so many troops stationed in places where it is required, and now we can't do that, or we are unnecessary, like now different people, the people who are vaccinated have to keep on going back as opposed to getting time stateside because they're the ones who vaccinate. Now that's a problem. That is a problem. I also don't understand. I mean, I know why they're doing it, to pander to some of their populace, but it's just such a weird thing for the Republicans to go on that thing. We're not going to approve the budget unless you do this. Out of all the things you could pick nits about, this is the hill. That's purely political. So I think there's compelling reasons on both sides why you could get rid of it. And I think I feel like the people in the room, the military, really should have had the final call. Like, maybe we should have had hearings before Congress. Go, listen, what is the status of our readiness if we do away with this mandate? And if they say, listen, you could do away with the mandate, the vast majority of people have the vaccine, believe in the vaccine, we're going to be fine, then do away with it. I'm cool with it. But if it affects our readiness, then we have an issue. Now, you could say, well, it affects our readiness. We're not letting them in the military either way. Right, so we got to solve it. We got to solve this problem.
It's a
problem. My issue with it is it's being decided by politicians, and I don't think this should be decided by politicians. This should be decided by the heads of each individual branch who presumably have the information on how many people are vaccinated, how many people aren't vaccinated, where we have people deployed, and what the policies are for those countries where deployments are necessary. That's where the decision should be made. So I don't need Biden making the decision at this point, and I don't need Congress making the decision at this point. So I don't really know if this is
it's a catch-22 because basically, well, if you still exclude these people, our military staffing will be short. Well, if you get sick and now you have people in sick bay, are out because of, it's also going to diminish the troop levels as well.
Yes.
You do have a very good point on let the policies of the countries they're in, or how they handle it there, dictate on how the military will handle it and take it from there. Because, it's a tricky thing. It's a double-edged sword. And you need to have some sort of common sense way to deal with it that's palatable and also militarily will keep us strong, regardless of what side agrees with it or what side disagrees with it.
You know, it's kind of the COVID vaccination in and of itself has become such a hot potato. But do we really want to have a situation where the men and women in the military can make individual decisions about what types of vaccinations they're going to say that they're willing to get, when you could be deployed to a country where, you know, there's all kinds of fevers and all kinds of diseases that are right now in the U.S. considered exotic, but are every day in the place that you might be deployed to. And you, how many, you know, people do you want to have sit aside going, oh, I don't want to give that shot? Does it work like that now?
Well, then also to your point, which is an excellent point, say you don't get that vaccine and we have to deploy you, and you contract, now you can come home, now you can come home and spread it here. It's a problem.
But the thing about it too, and you know my feelings about the vaccine. However, Pip, you brought up an interesting statement. You said, well, you have these soldiers making individual decisions. You can't have the military, your military making individual decisions. Everything has got to be one decision. That's the way the military works. So in a case of national security, in case of you being assigned, and you do sign yourself away to the military when you join. They own you. Let's cut the bullshit. They own you. And if you can't have a military making individual decisions, and if they have a mandate that you have to have the vaccination, I'm sorry. It's for the troop strength, and you're in the military. You know, you have vaccinations for everything else. So my stance in this case is a little bit towards, you know, you have to go with the status quo on this.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us are about to be deployed to some place in Africa. And I say that I have a religious objection to getting the shot for dengue fever. Is it reasonable that I should be able to sit out my military responsibilities because I've decided, rightly or wrongly, that I have a religious or other objection to that, and now I'm going to let you two go and serve in my stead, and I'm going to sit home and paint my nails? Or I'm going to go into an active zone and be in the same encampments and, you know, troop movements with you guys, and like Davin said, possibly become a you know, contaminated with something and bring it home to the U.S. That's lovely. No, what is this snowflakeism that's going on right now? No,
well,
I don't think
also
so.
The other thing is, well, the vaccine could kill me. So could the enemy. You're in the army. You know, I mean, you're taking that chance, and you can't have individual decisions in the military. It's not going to work.
All right, very good. We're going to forego the last story for the sake of time this evening, and we'll come back with some scamming scammers on the break.
Yeah, we can do that one anytime. That's got some staying power.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. On the break, we have new music from Chloe Collins with "Do It for the Plot" and Julie's Andrews with "Dirty Desperation," and you can learn more about.